Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Great, great. Yeah.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much, as always, for making your way here and checking out the episode in this series. I do hope you hit the subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. In fact, it's three a week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists, discover some new ones, and know what's happening in the music world at all the usual spots like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, James Blake. We're going to be talking about his new record, Friends That Break Your Heart. The English singer-songwriter going to tell us about the process of deciding what this album should be, comparisons with and being jealous of other artists, and covering Joy Division on the preceding covers EP. He did Atmosphere. Blake also talks about his knack for left turns in his songs, using less of his famous falsetto on this set, and having SZA and Jid guest as well. So let's get into it, talking about Friends That Break Your Hearts. It's Kyle Meredith with James Blake.
Hi, Kyle. How are you doing?
This record, as usual, is amazing. It's beautiful. It's I know there's a lot of emotions going all through it. I'm not sure really which one to land on to compliment you on, but it's a compliment just the same.
I take it as it comes. Thank you.
Before we get into it, kind of backing up just a little bit too. So I know a lot of this was recorded over the past year, but just last year you also gave us that covers EP, which I don't know if it set us up for this or if it was his own little capsule thing. And I know it rarely works this way, but I wondered, if by chance that you were working on these sort of simultaneously, did you find you get to a point where, you're finding some of the things you're taking from those covers and applying them to this album here?
Yeah. And also, the covers EP, the before EP, and this album came from one pool of tracks. I mean, the covers EP, maybe less so, but the before EP, certainly. Initially, I had the idea of making this a much more up-tempo, much longer album. But in the end, when I was looking at all of the tracks, the track pool, it just felt like the strongest dance music could really be boiled down to like four or five tracks. So I just put it out on an EP. And then the rest of it was more songwriting material. So I just, it grew arms and legs and became this.
I do love, by the way, that you covered Atmosphere. I mean, that's one of my...
Love that song.
Yeah, favorite songs right there. I get this point. That's in this sort of special club of songs that I don't think I could ever learn to play, because for me, when I learned to play a song, you get more personal with it. When you learn a song, you get a lot more personal with it. And there's some songs that have a certain amount of magic that I feel like if I were to ever do something with it, I would lose the magic in the song.
I was really afraid of that, to be honest, with Joy Division. And to some people, it has lost the magic, I'm sure. You can't please everyone. And Joy Division, especially Joy Division fans, are going to be super precious about versions of that song and those songs. So I get it. But I think I just did my best to keep it, keep the spirit of it. And as long as you, I just wanted to respect the song. I didn't want to do something too drastic and keep the kind of, you know, like translate elements of the production, like the kind of the Beltre sound that happens, the sort of iconic Beltre sound, that, like that, that becomes like a piano kind of swoop. And then just trying to, you know, trying to retain the mood of the vocals as well without impersonating him. So, you know, just trying to, yeah, do my best.
Let's, I guess when I find those spots that I find sort of make its way into this record, what's the song Coming Back on this new record, mm-hmm. Friends That Break Your Heart, Coming Back. There is a piano in there that sounds, it almost sounds like you're doing a duet with the past. And I'm not trying to be overly poetic when I say that, but there is something that sounds like you've reached into the past and grabbed that, not changed it, you know, and just met it with the current present. That might be a good place to start with this record. You know, what's happening right there?
Well, Dom Maker, who is a permanent feature of collaboration in all of my stuff nowadays, is he was the one who reached into the past and brought that piano part to me. And me and Stara initially wrote to it, and then SZA came in and did her thing, and then we ended up with this song, Starter, and then it just went from there, and it took me a while to figure out how to actually produce it right, but it was, I could tell there was something special from when we first did it.
So some of these songs, though, they've been around, I mean, what, say what you will, you started, it's the first single, you started playing that actually live a couple years ago, right? So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my thought at first was maybe these were all sort of pandemic songs, but they actually do stretch a little bit further back.
A little bit.
Yeah. Was it still able to, I mean, were you still able to, I guess, do all the songs fit within the concept that you sort of hinted at?
Yes. Most of them. I mean, some of them are, you know, I mean, there's a couple of love songs on there that are, you know, not about friends breaking your heart. There's also Say What You Will isn't really about friends breaking your heart. But the, you know, all the subject matters I touch on, I guess friendship and some of those kind of, maybe some of the darker themes are represented in that album title. Also, I think, you know, I mean, one of the working titles for it was Famous Last Words, because I thought it'd be funny to release an album that sounded like I was retiring, but it just didn't suit every song or like the majority.
The concept, as you're saying, sort of plays out in the title. I don't know how deep you want to go in that, but why is this the concept?
Well, when I looked back at all the songs I'd written, the track pool for what I had, it became clear that like I'd dwelled more on, in my writing, I'd dwelled more on these difficult friendship situations than I had on love or on anything else. And it just became, you know, I think it felt very relevant to the current state of the world and what a lot of people have been experiencing, you know, like distance from friends, distance from family, distance from everyone. And a lot of my friends were reporting relationships crumbling and like finding it very difficult to keep, you know, their friendships up essentially during this crazy moment. And so it just felt very relevant. Friendships really took and you know, all types of relationships took a real beating over the over the pandemic. So yeah, and then it just, you know, and then Friends That Break Your Heart came as a title, and it just felt right.
You sort of just blew my mind a little bit right there, because I expected this was something much more personal in a way, but that's something that we've all dealt with. That's, I mean, the amount of, you know, family members that I've sort of had to shut out for now, and friends and on and on.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. That's been so nuts about all of this.
And like some people just didn't have a place in our new lives, you know, in the new reality of our lives, they were just people who just didn't make it. I mean, metaphorically didn't make it. There are also people who didn't make it actually, but.
No, I was going to say, I'm personally, you know, for me, I was more surprised. It's almost like I could deal with my family members on the political side of things, you know, when it came to Trump or anything else. But when it came to the pandemic and the vaccine, that ended up being surprisingly the dividing line for all of us, I think.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially I think in this country, there's a lot of things in the last few years that have unnecessarily, you know, probably unnecessarily torn families apart based on their opinions on certain things. It's quite sad. And it's often media fueled. I mean, it's just not necessary a lot of the time, but it, you know, did bring out some aspects of people's character that we didn't see before, I guess. And sometimes you see something in someone and you go, oh, didn't know that was there.
There's a certain small amount of ignorance is bliss when it comes to relationships, especially family.
I think that's true. I think, you know, it's some people you just don't want to know everything about once you open that door.
So I want to jump back to this first single, Say What You Will, which comes with this great video, which also co-stars Phineas in it. And a quote that you include, when comparison is the thief of joy. And I do feel like you're painting something there. I mean, I don't want to say what's obvious and what's not. This is coming, you know, just from my take on it all. But I do know about the comparisons, what Phineas does, what Billy has done, what you have done, you know, to, you know, the comparisons to each other, comparisons that you've probably got throughout your career to other artists. Mm-hmm. Is that what's exactly going on in this video?
Well, some people's first reaction to that video was, oh, but James, like, you shouldn't compare yourself to Phineas. Like, you're good. Like, you're successful. You've done well. Your music's very nice. And it's like, no, thank you, but that's not what this. that's not the point I was trying to make. The point I'm trying to make in the video is that it doesn't matter how successful you are. There's going to be someone who presses your buttons, who you're jealous of, who seems to just get everything right. Everything that you get wrong, they get right. And it just pulls at your, you know, it just presses. Yeah, it just presses your buttons, basically. And I think I'm sure most people have been through that, have got someone they can think of who is like, you know, they feel like they're in competition with, and that person doesn't even know, that person doesn't even give a shit about what you think, and they're just living their lives and doing their thing, and they're probably becoming more successful because of their lack of doing that, their lack of comparing themselves to other people. Or maybe they're also comparing, and however successful they get, they've got somebody else who they're doing the same thing with. So I think it was just a commentary on that, really, and the way we can apply that to Instagram, the way we can apply it to somebody's, you know, yeah, they're face tuning all their photographs, but they're more beautiful than me, or I can't attain those beauty standards, or I can't attain, you know, their lifestyle standards, and it's all just bullshit. And I guess it's not, you know, it's not a new concept for me to say that. It's not like I'm the first person who said, oh, don't compare yourself to everyone. It's going to make yourself unhappy. But is, I do think it's valid. It's a worthy, a worthwhile concept for a song.
You on your Instagram, being okay with where you're at and fuck them all. That's the quoting you right there, which I absolutely love.
yeah.
I love your.
And by the way, it's not to say that like aspiration is bad, or because I know, like, you know, in this country there's a to some degree there's a healthy like feeling of aspiration, and like I want to achieve a lot, and you know, and everything. But it's just, I think there is, it can be that to a certain extent, and then it becomes unhealthy, and then there's a kind of it becomes a burden on the psyche.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Well, I also want to compliment you on that song. And you do this, and you've done this throughout your career. Your choice of where a song goes is always so surprising. You know, watching you perform that one live, Say What You Will, it was one of the first times I realized, at least the way I see it, that it seems like so much of your decision on where a song can go is so much based on feeling, because it's not traditional. I mean, you've got verses and you've got hooks or choruses or whatever, but you take these diversions, these left turns vocally, you know, and it's almost like what someone would do in their, like, I'm going to say it, a basic songwriter would take those moments in their bedroom and then smooth them out, you know, filter them out later. And that's not always the case with you. I don't know if you can speak to that, but it's one of the things I respect most about your writing.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think it's probably one of the things I've been most insecure about, if anything, is the fact that my songs often get comments of like, oh, instead of the usual, I don't know. Like I sometimes worry that the twists can throw people off or make my music less accessible. And, you know, like, oh, then, you know, then I'm not, you know, it's like, then I can't be, I can't be a certain, I can't be in that group of accepted songwriters, or I can't be, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's one of the things that has led me to not be accepted, at the same time as one of the things is that's granted me complete acceptance with certain people. And like, so it's been a kind of, and it might be the thing that hinges like people's acceptance. It kind of like divides, it kind of sorts certain people from others, you know, like, oh, well, if they like that moment, then they're open to other creative endeavors. And if they don't, then maybe they're more straight laced and they like this kind of thing, or maybe they're more like into pop and that's just what they do. I don't worry so much about that now, but that's definitely made me insecure in the past, is this feeling of like my natural, the way I naturally do things kind of puts some people off. And it's like, if you apply that to just general life, it's like, you can't walk around thinking that. You just got to be yourself, haven't you, really? But I remember Rick Rubin, we were doing this podcast, and he said, he was like, your greatest skill is collage. He's like, that's the thing you're best at. And I love it when you do that. I don't really care about this traditional song structures. I just want to hear you be yourself and do these crazy experiments. And he does, I mean, sorry, I don't think he said he doesn't care about the rest of it, but he was like, I think you doing what you do best is doing that. And I was like, well, that's cool for someone like that who's seen all these records go by and produced a lot of them to say that. It made me feel very accepted. And I don't know why, so I think it set me off on like a ramble, but you know, it's sweet when someone says that that's what they actually like about it. There's an interesting, Brian Eno has these flashcards. They're called oblique strategies.
I know those, yeah.
Right, and one of the cards is, take the element that is the most embarrassing element of this song and amplify it. So that's what I've got to do, basically.
I was going to use your quote there and fuck them all, you know.
Yeah, man.
To go back there. But seriously, that's like, I could say, I can't always sing along with you, like in the shower, you know, if your music comes on or whatever, but, but that's why, well, try not to paint pictures.
No, I mean, you've painted the picture vividly. It's living.
But at the same time, I think that's why I keep coming back. I mean, there are a lot of basic songs out there, you know, and they come and mm-hmm. go, but there's always something so much more interesting. I mean, the songs that I love the most have some version of weird to them, you know, and I say yeah. that in a broad scope, but that, you know, the classics, those are the ones that survive. Those are the ones mm-hmm. that make it, you know, so the compliments.
I agree with you, man. It's always been my favorite thing is somebody who, you know, who's daring. Otherwise you're just, I don't know. Yeah. I enjoy daring music, basically.
There's another song on here, Funeral, and you're exercising your, I don't know if it's soprano or whatever. Actually, I didn't have it in my earbuds at first. The first time I heard it, you know, I just had it on a speaker and I thought you were duetting with Feist for a second, and something that you were register was so like that. And again, it's one of those moments where, you know, I come to appreciate your range because, you know, you seem to have this natural baritone, but kind of pulling it in and there. And I don't know, when do you know that it's time for that? Because again, it seems like it comes so natural, like it's a feeling for you, but is there a moment, you know, it's like, oh, it's, I got to take it up here.
Interesting. Well, I mean, there's always the, you know, there is a classic technique of like doing the low verse and then the high chorus. It's, you know, it's like, it's quite Adele, actually. Someone like you follows that kind of framework. And a lot of Adele songs where she belts the chorus and it's just like, it hits even harder because she goes up the octave as well. That's something that I guess happens in Funeral, except not to the effect of someone like you. But you know what I mean?
Right.
I do my little version of that. But I think that happens. And also, I don't really know when to use the lower notes. I think actually, I didn't really start singing in my lower register until quite recently. I was always doing falsetto almost on every song. And I think I just got a bit sick of being in that range because falsetto is lovely, but it doesn't always convey what I want to say. It can feel quite disembodied maybe sometimes. Like it's not, you know, I don't speak like that, you know. It would be weird if every time I had a conversation, I went into this. You know what I mean? It's like something about automatically, as soon as I sing, just going, na, na, na. It's just like, that's not actually, I think that's in a way affected. I think having a broader range of like what represents your actual vocal range and maybe the way you normally speak as well is maybe more natural. But I was imitating all the female singers that I grew up listening to who had crazy high voices, and actually, you know, not just female singers, just people who had crazy ranges who often existed at that range. So like Prince, D'Angelo, Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills and Nash, Bee Gees, like all these people who just, that's just where they lived, you know, a lot of the time. So, but I think over my course of my career, I've just wanted to be a bit more, I don't know, just like explore the other parts of my voice.
That more natural side. Thank goodness you just didn't walk around jumping into falsetto all the time. I'm pretty sure you'd probably be looked at as a little
I wouldn't have any friends, let's be honest.
While you're mentioning other artists, we should also throw some love to the guests that you do have on this record. You've got a few. SZA's on here, Suave, Monica Martin. I don't know. Is there anything, how did they end up specifically? Do you hear their voices in your head as you're writing songs, or does that ever happen when you're thinking about guests?
Well, the SZA one happened in the same room. The Jid one happened over Zoom, actually, because we were, you know, we were in lockdown. He sent over, so I made the beat for him. I made the beat hoping it would be on his record, actually, because I was making stuff for him. And we made a bunch of stuff, and then some other stuff I think he may have taken for his record. I'm not sure. That's not been confirmed yet. But this one, he was like, I don't think this one's going to fit, but I really love what it is. And I was like, well, I'll take it. I'll put it on my album, because I had a majority of the record already done by that point, and I was like, or kind of confirmed. And I was like, oh, that would sound good on my record, I think. And then I just had this rap feature, this amazing Jid verse, but with no chorus. There's no chorus. There's no like structure to the song. It was just like, I didn't know how to make it into a song. And then Jamila was like, why don't you just put Suave on it? Like, this rapper who I've been working with for years, who is, well, a couple of years, he's amazing. And he's also from Atlanta. And he's friends with Jid. He'd been working with Jid already. So I was like, well, of course. Makes so much sense. So I sent it to Suave. And Suave did the verse in 30 minutes and sent it back. Like, it was like 11 o'clock at night. He was already in the studio. I texted him. He was like, what? Yes, of course I'll do that. And, you know, we've done a bunch of stuff together before, but I've never asked him to just be on one of my songs for a record or anything like that. And he just turned it around in half an hour and sent it back. And it was exactly the take that's on there now. And it really, to me, it was like, it was masterful what he did. It's like, it sounds like early Eminem, like the way he's like playful with it, and he conjures this whole like visual story. And then it's like at the end, like in his mind, like in his story, he's concocted, I shoot them both in the head. And then he's made it all up and he's like, oh, maybe I am crazy. It's like just that whole thing. It's just like, that is just, you don't expect to hear that on one of my albums. I was like, that's perfect. You're a genius. Thank you. I'll let you know when it's done. So it's just moments like that, man. It's like collaboration is just so fun because, you know, what's the alternative? Me just sitting in my room, just being like, you know, like staring at the walls, just being, you know, being self-critical. It's like, no, we had to open this process up at some point because I was going to go nuts.
It's perfectly placed in the record too. I mean, again, you know, the first time you hear it, you don't know what's coming, and everything, yeah. I mean, not just that moment, everything about this record, it is just so perfectly done. And I know you got the tour coming up. I'll quickly ask, I mean, what does that look like? Because everything's different these days.
Yeah. Well, the tour is looking like a lot of COVID tests and, you know, just going wherever we can for as long as we can. I mean, I just want to make sure we do every show, basically. And I want to do it safely. I want to make sure my crew's safe. I want to make sure my band, the audience are all safe, and just try and bring the best show possible. And I think it's going to be pretty overwhelming to see that many people in front of me after probably the most people I've been around is two or three. So, yeah. I mean, I haven't even been going to parties. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've basically just been in the house or just, you know, going for hikes or going, you know, like doing sessions. But the idea of doing a show is just seemed insane. I can't picture it almost.
Culture shock on the way.
Yeah, it's going to be a shock.
I look forward to all of it. And again, this record, it's so beautiful. Friends That Break Your Hearts, which you can see on the merch of your shirt right there, nicely placed for the interview.
I actually ran out of t-shirts. That's why I'm wearing this. But I've got a big box of merch just sitting there. So yeah, perfect.
James, thank you so much for the music and especially thanks for taking the time to talk about it today.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Kyle. Like what you're doing.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
A big old thanks to James Blake. Again, the newest record is called Friends That Break Your Hearts. Thanks to you as well for, again, checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the whole series. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? This is your kind of thing, right? New episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, including Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all three of them, at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.